Blog Talk Radio.
Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu. Kupadwa tinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale tinakalapo kondwela, lelo heka tutikumbukila kweta chokela. Amai kubutika mutima, koma zoti tazisoa. Nimaona misozi masomwake, nimavuto abale nimavuto.
Good morning from Dallas, Texas, on this August, after the August the 15th, 2015. We are grateful for you taking the time to join us on this great show, and a great morning as we get underway into another discussion. That was a good show, my friend, and dealing with a lot of issues right there. Oh my goodness, our heads were just rolling and bombarding. Roger, good morning again.
good morning, Nathan. Yes.
Yeah, at times it's important to get into these things and just get to the bottom of the issue, you know, and discuss and get to things. We are switching gears here as we look at another aspect, like my friend Roger said. And Dr. Patrick, this is one of the areas in our Zambian community that we rarely talk about, we rarely mention, even on the political platform, economic, business, whatever word you want to use, the issues of disability. And our good friend and partner is also a regular contributor on this forum, is joining us to discuss this from Dallas, Texas. My name is Nathan. I'm also based in Dallas, and Daniel is joining us, Roger. Before I introduce Daniel, those statistics that I talked about, Roger, before we came on, I went and looked at it again. There are 1,400 counselors in Zambia, 1,400. Mm-hmm. And there are less than 100 women in that 1,400.
Yes.
Mm. Yes. Which is a very dangerous
Well, that
statistic.
Tells us, Nathan, number one, as a nation, again, and as a continent, the emphasis we put on the boy child number one success, boy child number two going to school. In the village, in Kasempa, in Kalabo, in Mwense, it's most likely the girl, she's not going to be told you cannot go to school, but she's not going to be encouraged to go to school. Like the family will do everything. I remember that, Nathan, back home, my own mother.
Yes.
To do everything, to sell the chicken she has, to sell this, to send a grandson to school. She will do everything.
Wow.
But when it came to her granddaughters, it was wishy-washy. And you know, our girls, they need a little bit of, it's a little bit of encouragement. You never saw that one. So that shows you we may be looking at the tip of the iceberg, as the saying goes, the tip of the iceberg. The problem, the underlying problem, is our foundation when it comes to our women. Yes. How are we preparing our women to stand up in society, both confidence-wise? The regular words we attribute to women and the regular words we attribute to boys, they are different. And even when they grow up, our confidence levels to participate either in politics or to do in business is totally different. So if you have a father who is going to stand up and tell a daughter, you can do what a boy can do, that child, that daughter is going to do what a boy can do.
Exactly. And one of the things that we need to do on this segment is Daniel is very, very, very versed on this. And I'm going to let Daniel share with us, especially how this affects the women who are in this category of the citizens or the people. Daniel is the founder and director of Disability Integration Initiative in Africa, which was founded in June 2012. And their vision is not just focused on Zambia, but Africa, where the disabled have access to healthcare, transport, and all those things. Let's welcome Daniel as he joins us this morning, Roger. Daniel, good morning from Dallas, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mr. Nathan. Good morning, Mr. Roger. Good morning, everyone who's listening.
Good morning, Brother Daniel.
Good morning.
Welcome. Daniel, tell us about the Disability Integration Initiative in Africa. What was the driving force behind the founding of this organization?
Thank you, Pastor Nathan. The journey for our organization called the Disability Integration Initiative for Africa, it actually starts from back home in Zambia, where I started an organization as far back as 2000 called the National Christian Organization for the Disabled. While I was in Zambia, we worked very hard to make sure that issues of disability we adhered to. But as usual, we face a lot of challenges. But some of the milestone achievement that I did in that part was construction of houses for the disabled when I worked with them in conjunction with Lions Club and Habitat for Humanity. So that was one of the achievements we did in Zambia. We built about 100 houses for people with disability in Lusaka. So coming here to America, of course, the vision changes because it's the same vision, but the spectrum changes because this is different place because you it's like I'm on a mountain top, then I'm seeing the valley. So that's where now, you know, I'm not just looking on Zambia, but looking at Africa, especially in Southern Africa. So that's where now our Disability Integration Initiative comes in. Now, we are actually looking at policy implementation. The problem that we face in Africa is not that there's no policies. Policies are there, well articulated, well consulted, maybe with the West. But the implementation, that's where the problem is. And that's where we want to play our role, to make sure that there's implementation of the policies that are dustbins in Africa.
Okay. Daniel, share with us the structure of this organization. Which countries do you operate, and some of the activities, programs, and how you're engaging the governments in Africa?
Basically, what we did, the approach of our organization is we try to work with already existing organizations. Because there are a lot of organizations in Africa. So what we do is try to work with already existing organizations and also try to share with them how we think the organization can be more successful by giving them ideas, giving them how they can cement their vision and how they can implement their vision and how also they can make sure the government are involved, or maybe civil workers that can be involved, or maybe the communities can be involved. I've worked especially with people from Uganda, disabled organization in Uganda. Those are that's the only organization that I've really worked with. In Kampala, there's some organization I've worked with there solely. And also in Zambia, we have worked especially with the organization that I left. So we that has been the contact organization, but we are yet to have a great impact on many organizations in Africa.
Okay. Let's zero into Kampala or Uganda, where you are very familiar, if I may use that word, and Zambia. Particularly, Daniel, how many organizations exist in Zambia and Kampala, the combined, and how have they fared since the two countries became independent?
Well, they, you know, there are so many organizations, non-profit organizations. There are those that are registered and those that are not registered. And also the other thing is difficult to come up with the statistics of this organization, especially in Africa. It's not easy to come up with a statistic that is you can explain to people confidentially or confidently because of the way the structure is. But coming to Uganda, the way it has structured issues of disability is totally different from Zambia. In Uganda, they starting from the councillor going up to the member of parliament, there are still three positions that are left to be contested by only disabled.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So that is how different Uganda is. So you find probably five people with a disability that the member they're actually in parliament. So compared to Zambia, so that's one of the great political milestones that Uganda has. So at least it has representation. So Uganda by fight beats us on the issue of disability, and also the other most interesting thing. You find that young Ugandans normally they participate in the issue of disability in terms of volunteering and just going maybe to actually even universities they have human rights courses and everything like that. There are people that specialize as lawyers in human rights compared to Zambia. I don't even know if they have got that course in the university. So that's the difference. So they are far much better than us in terms of that. So coming back to Zambia, you know, the political participation of people with disability is far-fetched. Right.
You're going to end there. It's far-fetched. Dr. Patrick and Roger. I want us to come back at a certain point to these three positions left specifically for in the Ugandan political system for people with disability to only contest those positions. I want us to come back to that. And of course, if you've got any comment or you want us to ask a question, Dr. Patrick, Roger, please, you can just chip in as Daniel is speaking. You are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. Our featured guest is Daniel Nsomekela. He's the founder and director of Disability Integration Initiative for Africa, DIIA. Daniel, one of the major goals is to foster integration and eliminate conditions that discriminate people with disabilities. What areas are we talking about here when you're talking about discriminate conditions that discriminate against people with disabilities?
Basically, there are two conditions. First condition is medical model. Second condition is social model. So these are conditions that determine the participation of people with a disability in society. Let me first talk of a medical model that only specializes on fixing an individual, okay, where you look at a disabled as a patient, okay, whereas a social model, it actually it creates an enabling environment that makes disabled to participate like everyone else. Now, that is where we actually concentrating ourselves, making sure that there's an enabling environment that makes disabled people to participate. So in that sense, we mean trying to talk to governments to make sure the infrastructures, they are accessible. I'll give an example. In Zambia, it's quite sad because Zambia is developing so fast, you know, compared to the way I left it almost nine to ten years ago. You know, mm-hmm. everywhere there are new structures, there are new roads, and everywhere, you know, in Lusaka. But again, you can't really freely, you know, wheel yourself with the wheelchair the way you are used to do. Okay, this time it's impossible, you know. Starting from street vending, carrying the so many vehicles, and just doesn't imagine. It's just a chaos. So, so if you're disabled in Zambia now that mm-hmm. there are no transportation for specifically for disabled people, it's actually severing disability because you can't do what you want to do because of movement. It's always a danger game for you and disabled to even cross the road. Okay. Mm. Now, the other thing is most of the buildings that are being constructed now, they are not accessible. The restrooms, they are not accessible. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me give you a.
We are talking about Zambia, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. We are talking about Zambia where I was. I've been into Uganda, but I'm talking about Zambia where I was. You know. So. Let me give an example. I was at Manda Hill, not Manda Hill, Livermore Junction. So this is the place I was. I've been there several times. I could go there, mm-hmm. meet people, want to meet me there. But then the problem was the restroom. You go to the restroom, well, it's any restroom, someone opens the door because this restroom is meant for disabled. There's a wheelchair, you know, a symbol on the door. Then you're inside and someone come and open from outside when you actually locked inside. So this happened to me like 3 times. And then I say, well, I don't think this is normal. And I had to look for a manager for Manda Hill, Levy Junction. I found him and I said, sir, what's happening? You know, every time I'm in there, someone comes and open a door, even when I've locked from inside. I think you actually, this is abuse of my rights to privacy, you know. And I told him, I'm giving you 2 hours to make sure you fix that, or I think we have to go somewhere, you know. I'll make noise for you, I've never heard. And I told him, I'm seated there at that restaurant, and I'm giving you 2 hours to fix this. And before 2 hours, he had changed everything, you know. And he fixed that. Now, here, that's what we learn. For 3 years, Livermore has been existent, and people have been going there. Men disabled have been in that restroom. But you know what? They were subjected to what I was subjected for a few days I was there. But for 3 years, no one stood up against this man, or the manager, or whoever it was, to correct the situation. So the issue of Zambia, I think, or anywhere, is actually individuals starting up for the right cause. And I think people are willing to change if they actually don't know what they are doing. So for me, those people, they're just lucky. Maybe they're just ignorant, in short.
Yeah. That sounds like somebody who lives in America, eh?
Well, I mean, what Brother Daniel is outlining here, Nathan, is something I think all of us who have been to Zambia, when we speak either to authorities, Dr. Patrick has told us, don't go in the communities there and you say, oh, I know it all, and having
right.
said that, I think we also speak with confidence. We speak with knowing that this is not, what is not acceptable is not acceptable, whether I'm in Zambia or I'm in Canada or United States. It's not acceptable.
Right.
And like Madaniel is saying here, our people, maybe it is just ignorance. And when he tells the manager that I'm giving you 2 hours to do this, the message is well got. That I'm not playing. I am not, you don't, I'm not what you think everyone is. The manager gets it. That statement, so this person cannot just say this without the Bemba saying that Mumbwe, Mumbwe pakulira nishi, payoko ashintirire, Dr. Patrick, for a hyena or is it a what, to make noise. It will fall if it doesn't lean on something. And therefore, there should be a foundation where it is standing for it to make some noise. So even the manager understands when he hears a person put a word to like, I'm giving you 2 hours. He doesn't want to go into a shock of thinking. He just goes and fixes it. Thank you, Brother Daniel. And probably this is, in one way or another, is the attitude we need to take back home. What is not accepted is not accepted, period, and full stop.
Right, right. Actually, in addition to that, at an interview on ZNBC, live interview and the phone-in program, and also I'd gone to Manda Hill, to Mando's, you know, and whereas I was Mando's, I couldn't use their restroom. And you know, Nando's is in South Africa, you know, and things come from South Africa, you know, where disability issues they are more attended to compared to Zambia. And I met the manager, say, sir, Nando's is an international organization which should have a standard way of construction and that accommodates people with disability. This, the way it is, the restroom, it cannot be like this in South Africa. How come that this is the way it is here in Zambia? The man couldn't explain because he was so shocked that no one has ever approached him, you know, to question him such. And I told him, well, this is a chance to fix it, you know, because there are many people who are disabled who may have the money and they want to come and eat from here. But if they cannot enjoy their money and are having a problem to go to the restroom, it's not fair, you know. So I went to ZNBC at an interview. We couldn't go in the studio because there were stairs, you know. It was not accessible, you know. So they said, okay, you know, we can have the interview right here on the open space. I said, why? You know, you can't move. I said, okay, fine. So there comes somebody, a journalist, who came to interview me. She was on crutches. Okay, she interviews me. And I said, what happened to you? But no, I was involved in a road accident. I said, okay, fine. You were involved in a road accident, yes. So what happens tomorrow? You completely never be on crutches and you now be in the wheelchair. Will you work here? She kept quiet. I said, tell me, will you work here? Because this place is not accessible. She was quiet. I said, okay, fine. I'm not going. I need to meet the director of ZNBC. Everyone was like, I said, everyone was saying like, oh, no, no. Said, where is he? I need to meet him. I'm not leaving this place until I see him. So eventually, I was there for an hour, and then eventually he came. And when he came, he said, oh, let's go and sit somewhere. It was really difficult. We go and went to some office to sit. I said, sir, what if I have come here and I'm talking about accessibility and the issue of challenges disabled are facing, and even here you people are going to report my story, I have a problem with you. Where are we going?
Where is the morality of you reporting my story?
Because for you to report my story, it means you are accommodating me here, but again, here you are not doing anything. And two, the person who's interviewing me, she's on crutches. Tomorrow, when she becomes completely crippled, will she still be working here? Or you are going to discharge on a medical or a disability issues because she's disabled? This manager or director couldn't say nothing. Oh, he said, oh, this is not our problem. This building belongs to the government, you know. It's the government that's supposed to fix this. And I said, okay, I think I need an interview again, you know. That's how they gave me now this interview, live interview to come and speak. And we said we will make a documentary on the ZNBC, the building and accessibility of ZNBC, and so that we can tell you the people built it, and they said the Chinese built that building. It was a gift to UNIC. I said, okay, fine.
No, a long time ago, yes.
Yes, said, okay, if that's the case, we'll make a video, show how unaccessible this place is, and send it to the Chinese and say, can you come and make it better? No.
So the Chinese themselves. Brother Daniel, not to cut you short, following this discussion very, very closely, we see even here some areas that are just beginning to make new adjustments. I saw it, I think one of the roads, I don't know if it was in Delaware or here in Canada. If you look at the walkways, those they make in the streets, most of them, they don't make them suitable for a wheelchair to go through. So they started to taking off the edges so they can allow the disabled, those on wheelchairs, to travel. Which tells me, in the initial constructions of a lot of these things, even in the North American scenario, the picture of the disabled was not there, and it's being forced onto them by the work people like yourself are doing. First question is, how strong is our disabled movement in Zambia? So that this fight is not only a Daniel a fight, but it becomes a national story. It becomes a movement, so to say. How strong is our movement back home?
Okay. I think this is my check. I think that the issue of disability or any other cause should not be for disabled only. For example, let's look at apartheid in South Africa. Apartheid in South Africa was not fought for only by the South African. It was fought even by people in South Africa who fought against that repressive government in South Africa. So, if not, South African could still be oppressed today. Okay? So until the people that are not disabled, until the people that are not in wheelchairs, until the community and the people of Zambia, they say, this is what we want. We want our disabled brothers, our disabled sisters to be part of us. But if anything, Zambians are very calm and quiet and comfortable with the way they are. But here's the thing. Disability rate in Zambia is increasing. Many people are becoming disabled in Zambia. Why? Automobile accidents, the food, the kind of food they're eating, chronic diseases, and so many factors. Okay? So the rate of people are becoming disabled are not only like the polio, the way we knew about polio, but it's the different causes now. So now if you are not doing anything now, until you find yourself in that situation and you did not prepare yourself, so how are you going to cope up with it? So my take is that it's not only the disabled people, because one, the disabled, they don't have influence to influence anything. Okay. So the people that have influence, the people that can change the policy are able-bodied, that are working, that are in the government, because disabled are not in government. So what are they going to do? Even if they're on the street, what can they do? You know, it has to take somebody who has the power to change something, and that's what it is.
Daniel, let me follow up on Roger's question and how you have responded. Then I'll let Dr. Patrick also comment as well to give us some insight on how the American society developed its awareness and the provision for the those citizens who are disabled. Isn't there a UN charter about things to do with the disabled people, Daniel, which the member nation are supposed to adhere to or observe? And to what extent does the Zambian government adhere to that UN charter for disabled people? Tell us about that.
They don't, but subscribe to that. you know, and nothing is happening. And
what is that UN Charter? Tell us about the UN Charter itself.
Well, it's simply that the government are going to respect the right of people with a disability just as much as they are in the constitution. I think the Zambian constitution, the right of people with a disability. But this is just a white elephant, okay? Oh. They're just a white elephant because they are not applied. Now, you know, the question here, is this a society or is it the people themselves or why don't they apply this?
Okay. I think you haven't been to, not before I go on with my question. Dr. Patrick, how was your vague so far what we have discussed up to this stage, what Daniel is saying? I don't know how you want to respond or come in, but how do you see things are moving and how can we get involved as usual, just the way you counsel us on every matter that we bring to this table?
This is the second time that a condition has been brought to my attention and by Zambians in Zambia, in which I've used that enlightenment to be included in all future conferences. If everyone will recall, when we met in Las Vegas, a young sister approached me and she said, everything that's being presented here is good, but what about the youth? Why did you not include the youth in the program, the overall program? So from that point on, I made it a commitment. Any conference that I've been involved in, I've included the youth viewpoint and what can be done with and for the youth. Daniel, I applaud you, because from this point on, every time that I convene a conference or a seminar or a program, I am going to talk about the disability and disability organizers. And I'm going to include you, Daniel, to come and present, because I think from this point on, everyone should have Daniel and his organization should be included in all future conferences and thereby bring this important information to the forefront. Everybody know about disability, but we always look the other way. We don't talk about it. And Nathan, I applaud you for bringing this on this important information and dialogue on this program, because it reminds us, because we like to forget where there are no disability situations in our environment, in our world. We close our eyes, but it's right there, and we need to work with our brothers and sisters, as Daniel so aptly stated, that it's not disabilities, it's all of our understanding and appreciation that we should work together to have access. Here in the United States, we have a disability law, and that's infused in our EEO laws, where public transportation and accommodations are made handicap accessible. And we need to do that not only in the United States. We need to do that in every state. And Daniel, I hope your organization will begin to build networks throughout Africa as well as here in the United States to continue this important inclusion. We can't exclude any longer. And Nathan and Roger, if you can, bring Daniel back on at least once a month to give us updates as to what's being done. But Nathan, you've done a major, you've contributed to us, enlightening us. And Daniel, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Patrick. Daniel, you may want to comment on what Dr. Patrick has said, but my next question is, from the time when, I don't know what time frame passed before you, when you last visited Zambia and when you went this time around, and what differences did you observe in terms of progress on the well-being of citizens with disabilities?
Some are still the same. Actually, most of them, they're still the same. Yes, I think most of them, they're still the same. Sadly, some have died because of much poverty, especially those in the villages. I have one gentleman whom, before I left, I'd taken a wheelchair to him, and from that time he never had a wheelchair. After the wheelchair was damaged, you know, so he died with precious souls, you know. This person is in a village. He died with precious souls, and so. It's really difficult, even in terms of employment, for most disabled, they can't get employment, and there's no deliberate policy that can prioritize the needs of the disabled. I know that the government has actually introduced some policies in terms of trust fund that is given to people with disability. I don't know how much they really give them, and I don't know how effective that is, because for me, I don't think they've got very efficient structures that can implement that kind of needs. Because if there is that, it has to start from the way the infrastructure are. Because even community development themselves, they are not accessible. You go there, you are expected to be outside because you can't get in the office. So how is it possible somebody who's providing you services and they are not, can't open the door for you, you know? So that doesn't mean they have to serve you from outside. So from that, you're able to tell that it's not possible. Two. Transport, as Dr. Patrick has said, transport in Zambia is very difficult for disabled. There are no accessible buses. I saw some bit of small buses. I think they come from Europe. There's a wheelchair on the corner, but I don't know. I never saw them working, you know. But and also wheelchairs that most disabled benefit in Africa. Some of these wheelchairs, wheelchairs are substandard, meaning that they cannot afford you, someone cannot push you, you know, it's substandard, you can't imagine, you know, that those wheelchairs, actually that donated maybe from the West, they are substandard, you can't even give them to, they can't be used even here in America, you know, so, you know, so it's really sad that, you know, even the government still depended on donations, because you don't see them buying wheelchairs for the disabled and buy a right chair. It's not every right chair is good for a disabled. You know, they need a chair that fits them, a chair that is usable, a chair that can improve their mobility. But because they're donated, they come with different sizes. So they just get it because it's on wheels. So it's really a sad story. And we just need all of us to stand up and speak about it.
Nathan, you asked me earlier, what can we do? And Daniel has given us what we can do. Anytime anyone from this point on is building a road, building a new bridge, building beginning to start a business in Zambia, the first question we should ask is it handicap accessible? order for you to do business in Zambia, it must be handicap accessible. Anything and everything from this point on, ask the question.
That's a good one. That's a powerful one, Dr. Patrick, right there. And all of us listening, you know how we do it at Zambia Block Talk Radio. I'll be letting you make your quest, your contribution and question. Dr. Munsanje here, you are a veteran, so to speak, on this forum. Here we don't just talk, you know that, Dr. Munsanje. We make things happen. So here we go. That is our part of now for the coming. We are going into a campaign period for elections, not only in the United States, but in Zambia as well. So this will be part of our campaign, handicap accessible. Anything that is being built, we'll ask this question. We are taking up this thing. You are listening to Daniel Nsomokela, the director and founder for Disability Integrated Initiative for Africa, and we are discussing issues to do with the livelihood and the citizens of the African continent with disabilities. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Daniel, please go ahead.
Thank you, Vanessa, and forgive me this opportunity. I'd just like to make a comment on what Daniel said and Dr. Patrick, what Dr. Patrick said. Daniel, this is Daniel from Pennsylvania. And,
thank you for coming back.
Thank you for coming back on Zambia Block Talk Radio, and thank you for speaking for first Zambian disabled and the rest of the world. I just want to comment on what you said, Daniel, about disability, that it's not only, you know, the people, it's not only natural cause, but we're having more disabled people because of the things that we are doing, you know, road accidents, sometimes the food and stuff like that. And we have to take responsibility when we cause something and when we cause our brother to be disabled. And then this is why sometimes we even fight in corruption. And we, I don't know where you can put it in, Daniel, like when you speak, when we let people get away with corruption, they can enjoy life for a little bit, but maybe that money would have been gone to buy chemicals. Work that you know didn't have to. We didn't have to. We are buying, you know, medicine to prevent that kind of disease. I know you understand where I'm going, Daniel.
Yes.
And then Dr. Patrick, when you said that he's going to include you in one of the speeches where he goes to speak around, and thank you, Dr. Patrick, for bringing that up. We have to take care of our brothers and sisters because we are the cause of some of their disabilities. And I'm impressed where we are in the United States. We are disabled. Sometimes it's amazing you find someone's driving, and then they get out of the car, you know, the wheelchair is there and stuff like that. But someone went in, they invented something to make their lives easier, you know. Thank you, Daniel, for coming, and keep the good work up, and don't be afraid. I like when you confronted the people at the store and at Zambia,
ZNBC.
Yes. Thank you, Daniel, forever for what you're doing, and Dr. Patrick and Zambia Block Talk Radio for having this discussion. And let's not take it lightly. Let's be accountable for the causes we are making our brothers and sisters suffer like this, you know. Let's be accountable.
Okay. Let me just comment on Daniel. Let's make a comment on corruption. Corruption robs everybody in society. Let's just imagine that society, you know, whatever resources we have in a nation, I'm not talking only about Zambia, I'm talking about Africa, you know. Here's a cake in the community, and if one person gets 90% of that cake. He had denied the rest of the other people. So which means the rest have to fight for that 10%. Now, that 10%, those people who fight for it, now it's become survival of the fittest. Only the fit will be able to get it. Why? It's because the other portion have been taken by one person. So that is what is happening in most parts of Africa, and including Zambia. Now, you can only, the more you are higher on the hierarchy, the more it's easier for you to have access to things, okay? For you to get to win a tender, for you to know the channels of how money is moving and everything like that. But mind you, the disabled already, they are disadvantaged, you know, by the fact that they're disabled to climb the ILAC, to the ladder, or, you know, for things to get easier for them. So corruption really, it causes a shortfall of provision of social services to people at disadvantaged in society. And especially let's talk about the mines, you know. If the mines are not providing and they are getting away with tax avoidance and everything like that, at the end of the day, if we talk about wheelchairs, you know.
You are right, Daniel. And you see, in light of the point you have made, where you went to Lazymore and you stepped up and had that conversation with the manager, and he made the difference to that restroom, you didn't just do it for yourself, but you did it for many others. You know, just like you are saying, corruption disadvantages and robs many people. Your one action also helped a lot of people. As we conclude our discussion, Daniel, what places in Zambia did you visit and what were your experiences?
I was on the Central Province, Kawe. I was in Western Province. In Western Province, I was in Kaoma. Mm-hmm. Kaoma was the saddest place for me because it looks the way I left it 20 years ago. Nothing impressive is going on. The roads as the way that I left them, if anything, I've been, you know, illusioned and everything is in display. But on the other hand, most people are driving, okay? They're driving, so we didn't have problems with transport and everyone seemed to be happy. You know, coming to Kawe, also everyone is happy, looking oiled, you know, not soiled. But there's still unemployment, there's still young people roaming around. Coming to Lusaka was quite interesting. The new roads everywhere in the, you know, there are a lot of good buildings around. It's very interesting. You don't really miss America in my case. I think I loved it, you know. So it was really good. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know whether you had an opportunity. You've mentioned the ZNC director, your incident with the Lazymore manager. I don't know whether you interacted with any policy makers, decision-making people in government or big corporations. And what is being done, did you establish, were you able to get to a point where you established what is being done to promote policies, strategies that are called, socio-economic access to disabled in the country?
This is what it is. In Zambia, the issue of disability will only change if there's a sanction from the president. There's no person they listen to more than the president in Zambia.
Okay.
So if you're going to have a president who is going to sanction, say, we need this to be done, that president will change the lifestyle of the people with the disability. Okay? But I was able to meet some ministers, but, you know, these ministers are different. Some of the ministers, I went to Cabinet House. You can't get there because it's not accessible. They had to come down and meet me in the car, you know. But I won't mention their names, you know, because they're my friends. So, two of them, they can't come out from the car. I mean, the car from the building. I mean, they had to come out from the building to come and meet me down because there were stairs throughout the place. And that's how sad it is. But I really wanted to meet the president in Zambia, but time was not accorded. But I'm hoping as he comes to America in September, maybe I'll be able to meet him because this is a serious issue.
It is interesting.
Brother Daniel, Nathan, just to take him back a little
yes.
bit. He brings out this point of corruption, and I like the way he puts it, a piece of pie. Remember, we brought it Tayari on radio the other day, how he's pushing some of these ministers. A minister of commerce is alleged to have gone to empowerment, which is meant for the disadvantaged, so to say, people. And say there is, I was imagining as Brother Daniel was speaking, there is a $50,000 which should be, distributed equally. And she gets 30,000. And every one of us now, we have to fight for 20. I think you gave a typical picture of what is wrong and what is missing in our nation. People who could put something so vividly, you could see it, you know, the majority of people fighting for this small 10% when those who are in highest levels of the land have taken up 90%. This kind of message, Brother Daniel, we should keep on it, as Dr. Patrick has said. We should really keep on this message. Corruption has eaten up our society. Corruption is disadvantaging the disabled. Everyone is suffering because of this issue. And thank you for bringing it up.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you very much.
Brother Daniel, what is the way forward for Disability Integration Initiative in Africa? And I believe that you are working on a fundraising event. You can talk about those things, the way forward, and what are some of the activities that we should expect from this organization.
One of the things that we want to do is to be holding conferences here in America. The reason why we are looking at conferences here in America is because the policymakers and implementers or executors back home in Zambia or in Africa, they need to be exposed to existing infrastructures in this country. Okay, so that is why we should have conferences here, take them around, show them how accessible bus looks like, show them how a restroom that should be used by a disabled should look like, you know. So show them how actually a sidewalk look like, you know. Because if they do construct something like that back home, it will be a time bomb. So we need to be bringing them. That's one, that area. And also educate them on those issues. On the fundraising, we're supposed to have a fundraising in May, but we had to postpone it because I had to go attend the funeral of my mother back home. But we haven't really come up with a date. If anything, it has to take place in November. I'm going to communicate the dates as soon as they become available.
Excellent. Yeah. Just keep us posted, and we shall definitely come back. We can let you come back and share a few thoughts on this as we move forward and talk about this. That was our show, ladies and gentlemen. Daniel Nsomekela, founder of Disability Integration Initiative for Africa, and for this day itself. Well, Roger, we have done
a marathon job today.
Yes, yes, yes. And we thank you for our contributors. Dr. Patrick comes up, the whole map changes. Yeah. So we are always indebted to him and to our listening audience. Each and every Saturday we are back on the radio.
Excellent. Yeah, you can like our page on Facebook. It's simply Zambia Block Talk Radio, and you'll be able to follow the shows, the guests, the topics for discussion, open forum, major events and activities that are coming up. We also have a website, www.zambiablocktalkradio.com. We have a PayPal link there. You can make your contribution to support our work. We are a community-based and community-sponsored station. Once again, thank you, Roger, Dr. Patrick, and all our regular contributors, Dr. Musanje, Brother Daniel. And Daniel in Dallas, thank you, sir, for taking the time. We have had a great discussion.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for everyone who was listening.
Excellent. Well, that's our show today. And everybody have a great weekend. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday. From Dallas, Texas, this has been your host, Nathan.
Kumova kudipe ntawiyo na kupanja kumwana hako kuipirendi kuchitoko na mumu follow hama hama inei nizi wanda zota nizi taeza talema na yuma pempelo atika pena siku lina azati kumbukila oye chifu kwa lelo bantu bonse basoweza ulemu. Atate mwe. Kale osangalala tuva ingatoki talema na pepo kapena mbale wanga azazi wakuti akula azazi otawa mavuto alimumanja mwake kapena zaziva kuti afuniko limba chifukwa ni mwamuna afuniko vuti kila banja kuti ni bambo wa nyumba elo atatae wana siunga ziwe aza kutunga kusogoro.